and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Well, recently, I made a decision. I decided that I wanted to start playing basketball again. And I've been playing over at the Holy Hoops on Tuesday nights, and that was a lot of fun. And then some guys that were over at Winchester Church of God were going to be in an adult men's league. And they asked me if I wanted to play. I said yes. Uh-oh. Not only was I not quite ready yet for the physical grind, yet I also joined a team that had not won a game the year before. We started the season 0-7. But we had fun. Indeed, until this past Thursday night, where we won by 32 points, I might add. Yeah, it's not really that big of a thing, trust me. Up until that point, we had not ever won a game. And it reminded me of exactly how many bad basketball teams I've been a part of. It seems that, and just to let you know, my sophomore year in high school, we won 2 games. 2-21. We improved my senior year to 5-18. Think about that for a second. I failed a whole lot in the sport that I love the most. Yes. So bad that there were times I wanted to give up this thing I loved the best. I thought I was such a failure. Now, granted, I have wisdom now, and I really didn't go there too much with, you know, Frederick County Rec League basketball. I wasn't ready to jump off the roof or anything, being 0-7 in that league. But I will say it did conjure up those feelings again of, man, I really know what it's like to fail. And it's not just in basketball. It's in raising kids. I know what it's like to look at the way that I've behaved or reacted to my children and realize, wow, I'm a failure. I know what it's like to fail in my job, to do things that people don't like or don't find very comforting, and to then reflect on that and just be like, man, I can't believe that I've done that. I know what it's like to fail as a spouse and a friend. You know, I start thinking about it. I know a lot more about failure than I do about real, amazing success. You know, Winston Churchill once said that success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Michael Jordan once said that, this is Michael Jordan, although it could probably be me too, but on higher numbers. I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, Michael says. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, Michael Jordan says, and that is why I succeed. Albert Einstein once wrote, I have not failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. And finally, from Corrie ten Boom, as she wrote in her book, The Hiding Place, if the Gospels are truly the pattern of God's activity, then defeat and failure is only the beginning. Great athletes, great leaders, great thinkers, great writers, all have a common theme associated with their greatness. They often experience failure and defeat. Indeed, we as the people of God know what it's like to experience failure. We know what it's like in our personal lives and our professional lives, but we also know what it's like in our spiritual lives, don't we? So many times I've had conversations with people who have said, "Oh, Pastor, I just don't read the Bible nearly as much as I should or I would like to. You know, Pastor, I just haven't been praying as much as I know I have in the past, and I would love to be able to do that again more now. You know, Pastor, I'd love to be more active in worship, or I'd love to be at worship more often, or I'd love to be able to have my faith just be that burgeoning, exciting experience that I've had in my past, and it's just not feeling that way. I'm in a dry spot. I'm in the wilderness." We know that feeling, don't we? I have found that failure is something we don't like to always talk about in polite company, but the reality is failure, if all of these examples of Einstein and Jordan and Winston Churchill and Corrie ten Boom are to be understood, it's that failure really is something that is more than just as inevitable in our lives. Failure, it seems, is invaluable in our lives as we learn from them, as we grow from it, as it helps shape us into being new people. At least that's the narrative of our Gospels, is it not? It's the very narrative of Jesus. The failure of the cross becomes the victory of the empty tomb, which then reshapes the cross into a symbol of hope and not a symbol of death. Our own struggles and failures in the faith and in our lives are given that very same promise, that they can be redeemed and that they can be restored. One of the great joys of living is seeing growth in your own life and in the lives of those around you, those you love. One of the great gifts of life is knowing, indeed, that God does not give up on you when you fail, when you cease to be all that you know you can be. God does not give up on you. Jesus, in fact, comes near in those moments, nearer to you almost than even when you're having your great success. Our gospel for today is really interesting to me. Because if you read at the very end of chapter 20, the gospel, the chapter right before our gospel, it ends like this. The end of chapter 20 reads, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in His name." Period. That is a great ending to a book. But then we get chapter 21. It was perhaps added on a little bit later. And it's interesting what we find in our gospel lesson today. Our disciples, who have just experienced the resurrection, they have been visited by Jesus. They have experienced all of this, and this incredible, life-giving reality of the first Easter is so amazing to these disciples that they go fishing. As a matter of fact, they go back home. They went back to Galilee. And they went back to their old life. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar about being encountered with an amazing experience of God's life, of God's love, of God's grace in your own faith life, and then not too long after, wow, you find yourself right back at it as it was beforehand. Not too long ago, something amazing happened at our house. It was clean. It was clean and it was straight and all the dishes were done and everything was in its place. It was awesome, was it not? And we looked at it and we were like, yes, this is, you don't know how excited I was about this. Don't come over today. Because as we looked at that beautiful thing, I was like, it's going to stay like this forever. Heidi goes, no, it's not. And she was right, as she often mostly is. The reality is now the house is back, and we're like, oh, gosh, dishes and cleaning and straightening. And I got to tell you, I always think it's going to stay perfect, but it doesn't. And that's like my life with Jesus. I think it's going to be, oh, man, I am dialed in, and I am praying, and I am worshiping, and I am serving, and I am doing all of that. And then, oh, I fall away, and I become fearful, and I become selfish, and I fail. Well, that's what's happening to the disciples. They've gone back. They've gone back to their life as it was before. And they're not even good fishermen. They fished all night and they don't catch anything. Till Jesus shows up. And Jesus doesn't leave them there. Notice, they don't even know it's Jesus. That happens in our life too. We're back to our things, our normal life, and something happens. We don't recognize it's Jesus until afterwards. And that's what happens here. The disciples don't even know it's Jesus. And then they realize it's Jesus, and crazy things happen, like people put clothes on and jump in the water. You know? And it's crazy. But what happens is that Jesus then, as they listen to his voice, they turn over, and next thing you know, look at this. They catch all the fish they could look for. They have been redeemed. Their failure has been made new. And then they all gather and have breakfast. And then Jesus, in an amazing piece of scripture, says to Peter, the one who denied him three times, he asks him three times, does he love him? Think about that. For every moment in our life of failure, for every moment in our life where we cease to be who God, who Christ would have us to be, our Lord meets us with as many opportunities to be redeemed and to be made new. And Jesus says, this is how you do that. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus calls us, commissions us out of our failure. In fact, he commissions us beyond our failure and our sin and our brokenness. He commissions us to say, simply be about the same type of forgiveness and love and grace that I am giving you. Be about that for each other. And in living that and doing that, you are made new. It's a great recommissioning of us at this end of the Gospel of John. It's a call to you and me, first of all, to not be overwhelmed by our brokenness and sin and failures. That indeed our God forgives us. God forgives you. Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do, as Paul says, that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, trust it, believe it, take it to the bank, and now move on. Move on to the next failure, well, which we'll all have. But also move into the promise, the commissioning of Christ, to offer the same kind of love and grace to each other, to this world, to the stranger, to yourself. Because God never gives up on you. Christ never gives up on this world. So trust it. Live into it. And know that promise can make all of our failures seem inconsequential to the overwhelming victory that is ours by being named a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.